Support for this program is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you.
The Local Thread.
Hello, and welcome to TPS Proud Out Loud. I'm Patty Mazur, Executive Director of Communications for Toledo Public Schools. Thank you for joining me. February is Black History Month, and while the calendar shows it's the shortest month of the year, we are celebrating the legacies, the stories, and the accomplishments that are infinite. Black History Month is more than acknowledging names in a textbook. It's about celebrating culture, the resilience of others, and the voices that refuse to be silenced. In a world that often moves too fast, we're hitting pause to acknowledge the struggle, the triumphs, and the undeniable impact Black History Month has on so many facets of our lives. In a month for education and understanding, it's more about appreciation. Today I'm joined by Robin Haig, a TPS teacher whose real passion is history. And I asked you a minute ago, and you said, my profession is music, my passion is history. I love that because I was toying with, and how do I introduce her? What do we say here? How did that come to be?
Well, I've been a music teacher for TPS for 34 years, and I'm very passionate about music. I'm a professional musician. But when I first started teaching at Navarre Elementary, years ago, I didn't know who Navarre Elementary School was named for, and I am not from the Toledo area, so I did a deep dive in that, and I reached out to a local historian at that time, who was Larry Michaels, and I said, Larry, I'd really like to write a book on Peter Navarre, and that led me down a whole rabbit hole of local history of Northwest Ohio and Navarre School and the War of 1812, and here I am today.
And so Robin has been with the district, as she said, 34 years. I've been with TPS 19 years. And in that time, I've always thought, if I need an answer to a question, and we get them all the time, people want to know about a school, people want to know about whatever historical impact TPS has, we always go to Robin. And you have been named the official historian of Toledo Public Schools. And I think your passion for that has certainly shown over the years. And we can certainly show by the work that you've done. You have a history room now, but we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute at the board. But let's talk about the TPS history. And we just celebrated 175 years. And as you say, the district is a cornerstone of Toledo. 175 years, we are the third oldest institution in the city?
That's correct.
And when you talk about being a cornerstone, what does that mean?
So in 1849, we were the third oldest institution. We started, and there were no other public schools. We were the very first cornerstone, so to speak. And everyone who was a Toledoan went through Toledo Public Schools because there was no other option. There were some small Catholic schools, but they were very costly for people to attend. And so for the first time, you have a public school in rural Northwest Ohio. And a lot of the people today think, oh, you know, in kindergarten, first grade, you go to school. Kids went to school when they could actually physically get there. They had to walk there. When their parents didn't need them at home or out on the farmland, they could send them to school. So the attendance was very poor. The road conditions were horrible. But TPS opened. We had about 500 students the very first year. And it really was the nucleus of downtown Toledo, because as the city of Toledo grew, all of those people who became prominent businessmen, future mayors, educators, they went through TPS. They went to the old Toledo High School. And it was said that, you know, the teachers at the Toledo High School taught pretty much everybody for the first 50 to 70 years that our school district existed.
And you have photos that came out as we went forward with the 175th anniversary that people had not seen before, and really show a true appreciation for cramped classrooms. You talked about how It was heat from a pipe stove in the corner. Talk about how the schools were back then and then how it went from the downtown Toledo school and how it progressed over the years, how we moved out.
So the first schools were really ward schools, and they were framed buildings that had maybe two or three rooms. Of course, there was no indoor plumbing. There was no indoor restroom. And it was a potbelly stove. So they would come to school. They would go home for lunch. No meals were provided. Many of the students would become dirty from doing the coal work to keep the heat going. They'd go home, clean up, come back for their afternoon lessons. And like I said previously, they would come sporadically whenever they could. Those moved into brick buildings. The first brick building was LaGrange School, built in 1851. LaGrange is the oldest school that we have had in TPS, and it was rebuilt three times. But in 1853, TPS opens a high school, and it is a magnificent building downtown, and it has a lecture room that holds 900 people. And so when you talk about the beginnings of the city of Toledo and you have this facility that can hold 900 people, it was the meeting place for everything. City council met there, different groups met there because it was a repository that could hold all those people. And it was a very classy building. Again, there was no indoor plumbing. And a unique story that I uncovered was the women, when they went to school, there were no sidewalks. So when it would rain, they'd have to lift their petticoats, and they were tired of getting muddy shoes and petticoats. So they petitioned the Board of Education to pay to have wood sidewalks put in 1856. And I just thought that was a neat story, you know, that women were fighting for their rights back then. The first graduating class of 1857 had three people. I know that's not very many, but when you consider the size of Toledo at that time, that was fairly decent. And it actually had a female in it. And so we were very progressive from our beginning to present day. We had African Americans incorporated in 1871, and they graduated in 1874 from Toledo High School. So we have been very progressive in our history.
That is so interesting. I love that fact. And the fact that you have all these little tidbits and you just rattle them off, that is so impressive to me. Let's talk about the 175th anniversary. You were a big advocate that and went to the administration and to Dr. Durant and to the board and said, look, we have to do something big to commemorate this. Let's talk about the community event we did and the calendar that we did. Some of the stories that you had in there and the photos had never been seen before.
Yeah, so as I was putting the archives room together and I discovered a whole bunch of different photos, I realized from the documents that TPS had celebrated 100 years, and then I was around, that's how old I am, for the 150th. And I remember that early in my teaching career. I mean, we did a lot of different activities within the city of Toledo, and I knew that for the 175th, I wasn't going to be around much longer as far as teaching, so I really wanted to do something. And so we had a whole year of different lectures in the high schools. We put together exhibits at the main library. And then we had guest speakers. We had a little event at the library. So it really was a culmination of 1849, you know, moving forward, showing the progression of TPS, but really showing how we expanded outward. And one thing that I think is very important is because we are a public entity, we provide a chance for every child, irregardless of their background, their race, their culture, or whatever. And that is something that TPS should be very proud of. We take all students and we welcome all students, and we always have. Mm-hmm. So for the 175th, we really pushed that mantra, so to speak, that we were here and we're here to stay.
And as the district went through the Building for Success program, you were very involved as far as making sure that if there were any historical items in the old buildings, you were the one that went and took them and archived them. And there were things that people hadn't seen in years that you uncovered. What was the thing that surprised you the most, that when you opened the box and you went, oh my goodness?
Well, that happened in 2002, and in 2003, we put the book out on Toledo Public Schools. And from that, I started collecting, as you mentioned. And the most surprising things would show up at my house at home. People knew I was collecting stuff, and I would get envelopes in the mail from, like, California, from New York. And it was stuff that their parents had. Their children no longer wanted it, so they mailed it to me. And I loved reading the stories of who their parents were, and I would attach a little bio right up with these documents or photos and stuff like that. But just recently, I got called down to Westfield School downtown, and for some reason they had the old Westfield PTA scrapbook that I had seen maybe 20 years ago, and it went missing. And somehow it showed up there. So I drove down, picked it up, and it's now in the archives room. So I remember seeing all these different things, and now they're kind of collectively coming together in one location.
That is, I just worry if it hadn't been for you, where some of those things might have ended up. And some of the work that was done in the schools where parts of the old buildings were incorporated into the new buildings, I think that says a lot about the district and our history. Some of the glass work, some of the stone work that is incorporated.
People like their schools. People are nostalgic for their elementary and high schools. And so it was imperative, as TPS wanted to pass future levies, that we recognize the past and incorporate those materials into their building so that when we do tours, they can go back and say, hey, I remember that, or I saw that before. I know exactly what that is. People have a connection to their schools.
Let's talk about the school that has a nostalgic myth about it, and that would be Waite High School. Is Waite High School built backwards?
Waite High School is not built backwards. I've spent decades trying to eradicate this urban myth. It was not built backwards. David Stein, well-known architect, always built it to face East Toledo. And no, he did not kill himself. He did not throw himself down a flight of steps. He lived to a ripe old age. So it is not built backwards.
So it is urban legend. And we get asked that question all the time. So I wanted to take the time and set the record straight. Let's talk about your history lectures. You started those. They have gone on now for several years. And you do a culminating event where, and I don't know if that's part of your plan this year, the big memorabilia event. Let's talk about those events.
So in the 1850s and 1860s, TPS High School was open to the public because parents needed classes. We had a lot of immigrants coming into the city of Toledo. They needed English classes. They needed finance classes. They needed to know how to survive. So TPS has always had night school for the community, and we kind of got away from that for a little while, and so I had suggested that we open up our high schools again to have this lecture series so that our taxpayers could come into the buildings, see the facilities, walk around a little bit. And so what we've done is we've rotated those lecture series throughout the different high schools to get the people back in. So we've had numerous local history historians come in and talk. We've given tours of all the historic buildings. We do have a memorabilia show. In fact, the next one that's coming up is going to be March 12th. That will be at Bowser High School. And that starts at 6 o'clock and goes to 8 p.m. And basically what we have are collectors of Toledo history bring in all of their items. And I'm talking hundreds of items in crates and stuff. And you basically, it's like Antiques Roadshow. You walk around and you look at the different items. And you're not buying anything and you're not getting a price on things, but you're seeing things come out of the closet that people haven't seen for hundreds of years. We actually had an original copy of The Blade show up one time. We've had some very unique things come. And so this year, again, that will be at Bowser. And I usually bring a presentation. This year, I'm bringing the rarest of our items from our TPS archive room. So things that no one else but myself has seen, I thought would be fun to share.
And that is, I will say that will be, I think, your pride and joy, part of your legacy when you retire, the archive room, and just the work that you've done down there to, again, ensure and preserve the past so we can make sure we have it, that we can build off of that for the future.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer that you have to know your past to know where you're at so you know where you're going, because the same conversations we're having, whether politically or in the classroom, happened 100 years ago. There's a Scott debate folder that I have from 1917. Guess what their topic of discussion was? Immigration.
Wow.
It's the same thing. You know, so we have the same topics going on, and people think this is brand new. When TPS closed for COVID, we did that in the 1920s. We closed the school system down because there was a virus going around and people were up in arms. But if you study the past, you know, well, we've already been here. We've already done this. Why are we so upset about it right now?
That's so interesting how life becomes so much of a cycle. And again, if we can remember what we've done and how we maneuvered our way through it, maybe we'll remember that as when it happens again, right?
Right.
Because we're pretty sure it will.
So
in our next segment, we want to talk about, you have a new book, and we also want to talk about America 250, which I was, again, time goes on, right? Life is busy. America will celebrate its 250th anniversary in July, and it was one of those things, it's like, really? How did that, you know, so, I mean, it was, I remember 1976.
I was just saying, everybody remembers that.
Right. And so I think you have a great story to tell as far as how you became involved with that and what we're going to be doing and what you've been doing with that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back again in just a minute with Robin Haag. We are TPS Out Loud. Thank you. Welcome back to TPS Proud Out Loud. We are continuing our conversation with Robin Haag about the importance of celebrating the rich history of Toledo in a Black History Month and of America 250. You have a new book. Is the book out yet, or is it coming out?
It's scheduled to come out in May.
Okay. And 250 Toledoans remembered. Not rich or famous, average people who need to be remembered. What does that look like?
So the book is really a culmination of stories that I've collected over the past two decades. I like people. I like to know their stories. I also like cemeteries, so I give cemetery tours. And so I have written and collected probably 500 stories of Toledoans. And I decided to coincide with America 250 that I would put this book out, because I firmly believe that everybody has a story to share. Everybody has a legacy. We all want to be remembered. And you might recognize one or two names in the book, but the vast majority are average people. They immigrated here, they lived, they worked hard, they passed away, and I would just want them to be remembered. And I want someone in 50 years to pick up the book and say, wow, that's my great grandmother. I didn't know she was born that day, or this is the day she got married. So it's a little dry. It's not an academic book, but it is more of a book to remember people and their lives.
Let's talk about the top two off the top of your head. Tell us about.
Oh gosh.
Yep.
That's hard.
It's not, again, just stories that, again, you came across in your travels that, again, surprised you.
That's really hard for me to answer, because they really are all over the spectrum of what I've come into contact with. There's some TPS stories. There's people buried at Forest. There's people from my neighborhood where I live in Westmoreland. There's people in Calvary, which is across the street. So everyone knows the Titkemeyer name, right? The feed store.
Absolutely.
So I have the brothers in the book that created the feed store. And what's surprising is the brother that first started it became ill and he passed away. And he actually ran the feed store, and across the street he opened a grocery store. Of course, they were very different from what we think of grocery stores today. He passed away, it went to his brother, so he kind of continued the business, and then it went on for three generations and is still operating today. Now, it's not under the family of the Titkemeyer, but that's one example. You know, another example is a family that came across the United States with 10 little children, and they came here. It was a black swamp. They barely survived. The husband passes away, and the mom is left to deal with raising the 10 children. How do you do that? You know, she's not rich and she's not famous, but she raised her children, she lived a life, and she deserves to be remembered.
And again, goes back to resiliency, and all of these people somehow built Toledo up into the melting pot, a lot of folks call us. And I think people find Toledo to be very welcoming. You can be an outsider, come into our community, and find a place for yourself. Make your niche, make your make your story. And that sounds like what this is about.
Absolutely. And it is just a random collection of people. And I certainly don't want to exclude anybody. But, for example, I go to Washington, D.C. every year and lay wreaths at Arlington for Wreaths Across America. And a gentleman whose headstone I had been covering, his wife reached out to me at Bowser and said, "Hey, you've been covering my husband's headstone. I'm going to fly out and meet you." So she flew out and met me. I got to hear this gentleman's story, and I'm like, he needs to go in this book. He was born in a displaced persons camp. His mother was Russian. His father was Polish. He was given up to an orphanage. He came here, was adopted by a family, graduated from Bowser. 3 days later, went off to Vietnam. 1 year into his term, he was completely disabled from shrapnel from a grenade that exploded in front of him. Came back, married, had a family, and two of his children teach in TPS.
Oh my gosh.
So it's the connectivity that I really enjoy as I hear people's stories. It's like a puzzle in my mind. I'm like, hey, I that matches this story or whatever. But yes, going back to the theme of resiliency, that's just one example.
That is so incredible and that has to make you feel humbled and
absolutely
that someone would take that kind of not only effort to come in and meet you, but to track you down and to make all of that happen and to make sure that her husband's story was told.
Yes, it was one of a tremendous honor for me to meet her and listen to his story.
And you travel a lot for your history. You go to, like you said, you go to Arlington. Every year you have traveled all around the world. And you bring all of that back and you talk to your students about it. You hold an event every year at Bowser where the military, our current and past, our fallen, mm-hmm. are remembered. Talk about that event for a second.
So Bowser is the only Purple Star school in TPS. It's recognized by the Ohio Department of Education for being a school that is supportive of military families and veterans. And so about maybe 10 years ago, we started a Veterans Day and Memorial Day program, and the art department got involved. We have a mural. We have what's called a Wall of Honor, where we have tried to collect the names of all past Bowser graduates who have served in the military. And it's an ongoing process. I'm always getting calls and emails, add my name to the list, add my name. So every year we have a ceremony honoring these men and women, and we try to invite them back as their names are added. We also have a wall that honors the men who have been killed in action. Unfortunately, there have been quite a few, and so we try to uncover their stories, and several of those gentlemen will also be in the new book.
That's fantastic. I think that's a great segue into America 250. As we said, everybody remembers 1976 with the bicentennial. And now when you started talking about this, I was like, wait a minute, what? And tell us about how you got involved with this and how you are the one in Toledo, Robin, taking this on as a project.
Well, it dawned on me that, you know, the America 250 is coming up, and I knew there was a website where you could look online to see who was representing your local principality or whatever. And I looked, and it was December of last year, and I said, oh my gosh, no one is representing the city of Toledo. So I called a couple people. I said, hey, do you want to get involved? And they all said, why don't you do it through TPS? So I said, well, I'll fill out the form, but I don't want to be it solely. So I'm kind of spearheading it. And what we did is we got together with 12 Northwest Ohio local history organizations, and we're going to be having a time traveler's passport program. So from July 1st through the 15th, you can go to one of these 12 locations, download a passport, visit the museum, visit the battlefield, whatever. You get a stamp. If you collect 8 of them, you will get a commemorative coin. And that coin, while it isn't worth any money, it will have the America 250 logo on it and a Toledo logo. And in 1937, when the city of Toledo turned 100 years old, they also distributed a coin. It had Peter Navarro on it, and that's how I know it. But we were trying to pay homage to that. And everybody remembers the 1976 quarters. We all used to collect them with the logo, the bicentennial logo on it. So that will be going on. And we're really using it as an educational component to get kids, families out to these locations. 90% of them are free. And so if you go to our website, that will be released shortly. You can see all of the different locations, and they're throughout Northwest Ohio. So it's Wood, Lucas, and Fulton counties, so all these different museums.
And so what are just a few of them? So people can say, oh, I've never been there. I want to make sure I want to visit at least eight. What are the ones that...
So, of course, the big ones here in Toledo are the National Museum of the Great Lakes, the Toledo Police, the fire. In Sylvania, we have the Sylvania Heritage Corridor. We have Sauter Village. We have Wood County Museum, which, by the way, is a fabulous museum if no one has ever been there. Also, Oregon Jerusalem Historical Society, they have a fabulous museum. All of the Toledo Civil War stuff that used to be at the zoo is now over in their location. And people don't know about it. And so we want to educate people about it. The battlefield of Fallen Timbers will be open. There will be some interpreters there. So it's just kind of a hodgepodge, and you can go to what really interests you. So if you're into military history, there's that. If you're into downtown Toledo history, there's a couple places for that. So it's just a wide spectrum.
That's a great way to, again, we are paying homage to the history of our city and making sure that it continues to play it forward, pay it forward, as America celebrates its 250th anniversary, which just blew my mind when you first started talking about that. Anyway, let's go back and talk a little bit more about Black History Month. And when I think about Black History Month in TPS, we have several schools that are named after famous Black history icons, pioneers, right? And these are schools that really promote that and make sure that their students understand the legacy of their namesake. We have Ella P. Stewart. We have Martin Luther King Jr. Academy for Boys. We have
Rosa Parks.
Talk about how those schools really, you know, the impact that they have on, again, making sure that our history is never forgotten.
Well, King School was originally named Waite School, and it was on the west side of the river, believe it or not. And it got confused with Waite High School when Waite High School opened up in 1914. So they changed the name to Roosevelt after Teddy Roosevelt. And it was Roosevelt until the 1960s when Martin Luther King was assassinated. And the Board of Education decided we need to honor Dr. King by naming a school. And so that's how that name came about. Same thing with Rosa Parks upon her passing. Cherry School was named Rosa Parks. Ella P. Stewart is unique because that was originally built in the 60s and was named immediately for her. And she was still living. So she got to attend the dedication of that school. So it's really unique to have a school named in your honor that typically does not happen while you're still alive. One of the really interesting Black history stories, I think, from TPS history, though, is in 1870, Alonzo Lott was attending the colored school. We had a colored school that was part of the city of Toledo. The races were separate. He had exceeded all of his academic studies at that school, and he appealed to the Board of Education to attend the high school. The high school was all white at that time. Now, the way he appealed is he wrote a letter to the editor. Now, he's a 17-year-old boy. Imagine this. He's African-American. He writes a letter to the editor. He needs one of the newspapers to pick up that letter. So Clark Wagner, who owned the Toledo Commercial at that time, ran the letter. And it became a sensation. He's also in my new book because I'm like, this is too good of a story. Alonzo leaves Toledo because he's not allowed to attend the white high school here. He goes off to Pittsburgh for a while. The Board of Education passes a resolution of the integration of the races. So Alonzo comes back and in 1874 is the first African-American graduate of Toledo High School. And, you know, we don't have a school named after him. Nobody remembers him anymore. But because he picked up a pen and he wrote a letter and somebody published it, he made a difference.
What a fantastic. I had no idea. That's a great story. And I had no idea that King was originally named Waite.
Yes. It was very confusing.
That is, wow, okay. See, you and I need to talk more. You teach me things all the time. Let's talk more about... We've got Scott High School. Scott High School has seen many elected officials go through that school. And the students there remember that Barack Obama has been there. President Clinton was there. Why do you think that school draws that sort of attention?
Well, you know, interestingly, Scott, when it first opened, was predominantly a white school. However, there were two African Americans that graduated in the first graduating class. One was Mabel Ford. I can't remember the other one off the top of my head. But for decades, it was predominantly white school. And then with the white flight that happened from the Old West End and movement, it turned African American. And it really became a powerhouse in sports, in community leadership. And we had some very strong administrative leaders in the African American community that were using Scott High School as a center to rally people. Now, that's not to say there weren't problems during, you know, the race riots that we had here in Toledo in the 60s and stuff, but it really became a strong pull for the black community because they rallied around their community that they had there. And of course, we all know the Door Street corridor was destroyed in the 1970s with urban renewal and stuff like that. So Scott became the hotbed of those activities. And I do have newspaper articles of students walking out. There was a case where 60 students were suspended for rioting. And so there's a lot of backstories there that could be told at some point. But I think they come to that school because of its history, because of its nucleus of being centered in the black community there.
And it's just such a magnificent building. And the renovation that was done there during the, when we did the Building for Success program, that along with, you know, the renovations that took place over at the DeVilbiss campus and that, how, again, we have paid, we want to remember our history. We want to remember the programs that went through and the people who are so strongly associated with those schools.
You want to know something ironic, though?
I would love to.
Jessup Scott was not for the integration of the races, and Scott School is named after him.
Really?
Yes.
See, again, another little tidbit that only Robin would be able to tell us.
Only Robin cares about.
So we have just another minute or two. What do you want to leave our listeners with today? What's the most important thing you want to remind them about Black History Month?
That people matter. Their stories matter. Somebody came before us. We stand on their shoulders. They broke the glass ceiling. They broke the racial ceiling. They stood up for what they believed in, and that is so important. But they also did it respectfully.
That's so important. One last thing about America 250. What do we want people to know? Where can they get more information? You talked about a website coming out.
Yes. So you can go to tps.org for our 175th timeline. And also, the America 250 will be there, but it is going to be on timetravelerspassport.org. And there's a QR code that you can download the passport right there.
Awesome. Thank you. I always tell everybody, this will be the fastest 40 minutes of your day. And I've learned more today than I knew before. So thank you. And I hope our listeners did as well.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Welcome back to TPS Proud Out Loud. I'm Patty Mazur, and we are continuing our conversation about Black History Month. And at TPS, Black history takes on a number of roles. One important pioneer in public education that the district celebrates every year is Dr. Crystal Ellis. Here to talk about Dr. Ellis and the impact he had on public education, not just here in Toledo, but in a broader spectrum, is Randall Parker III, who is currently serving as the Vice President of the Board of Education. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Ms. Mazur. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about one of our favorite people. We have a lot of things in common, you and I, but I know Mr. Ellis was very important to you.
Yes.
Let's start by talking about why TPS, why Black History Month is so important to our district.
Well, I believe that Black History Month is important to our district because our district is representation of our students near and far, different paths of life. And so I believe that Black history is a component to the piece of the success of the puzzle of our district. And, you know, we can't talk about Black History Month without talking about Dr. Ellis, who has been absolutely phenomenal in my path as it relates to Toledo Public Schools. I'm born and raised in Toledo Public Schools. My children, my wife, we're all TPS proud products and alumni of TPS. But there are some people who influence your life not with speeches or noises, but consistency. You know, you may not remember everything that they say, but you always remember how they showed up. And Dr. Ellis is one of those people in my life.
That is a perfect and beautiful way to say that. The Board of Education designated the first Friday of every February as Crystal Ellis Day, and that was back in 2022. Why was that important to do?
Well, I'm honored to say that I was the one who chaired that resolution to come forth, myself and Ms. Sheena Barnes, because when you have a person who has been so influential and impactful, I think we always ought to take time, and I said this before, that, you know, give people their flowers while they can see them, while they can smell them. And it all goes back to, I think, maybe 2 weeks prior to even the resolution coming about. Dr. Ellis and myself were at Rite Aid. And so I'm in Rite Aid looking for one thing. He's in Rite Aid looking for something else. And that turned into a 2-hour conversation at Rite Aid. He was like, I got to get my medicine. I'm like, I was supposed to come get deodorant. I don't know what I'm here for, you know. But just to see him and to hear him, it's like the whole room stood still. And something in me said, we've got to make sure that we honor this legacy at that time, that living legacy, while he was able to know how much we appreciate him as a district.
His voice was... there was no mistaking who it was, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure you could have been in one aisle of Rite Aid and someone heard him talking and you were like, oh my gosh, that's Mr. Ellis. There was no doubting that it was him.
Absolutely.
And people walked up to him. He had students that he had crossed paths with over the years, over his rich history as an educator,
yes,
that over the years would still stop at his house, call him, visit him, stop him on the street, stop him at the golf course. and he loved that.
Yes.
Why do you think that was important to him?
I believe that he was such a draw because of who he was. Because to me, I think about his years of just steady presence. And no matter where we were, who we were, one thing that was consistent was when you came in contact with Dr. Ellis, it was someone that you never wanted to lose contact with. And so, you know, I was one of the few that was grateful to have his phone number. So I would call and check on him every now and then as well. And that would turn into a lengthy conversation.
Yeah.
I would love just to be able to hear his voice, because long, even before I thought about serving on the board, I grew up watching him and watching how Dr. Ellis really just carried himself, how he showed up, how he stayed faithful to the work. And it just drew me to want to be a part and be connected. He was really, for lack of a better word, my cultural connection as an African-American man on what success would look like.
And that's such a beautiful way to put it. He was not from Toledo.
Right.
He told me his story at one point, which growing up as a youth and how he ended up here in Toledo and how he became so connected to the community. But I think he wanted people to see better for themselves. He always showed empathy.
Sure.
And on my worst days, I would get a call from him just out of the blue, and I would be in the middle of whatever crisis we were dealing with at the time, and I would see his name pop up on my phone, and I would let it purposely go to voicemail so I could hear him say, I'm just calling to say I'm thinking of you, You are doing what needs to be done. You have the knowledge. I have the faith in you. And so many times that carried me through.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to get teary just talking about this. But as you said, it was never a quick conversation with Mr. Ellis. He always wanted to talk and hear how things were with you.
Sure.
He wanted to know about family. He wanted to know how things were at the district. And he always made it relevant.
Absolutely.
Do you think his connection just stayed because of his influence, of everybody knowing who he was? Why do you think he made such an impact?
He made an impact because he never switched up who he was. When you thought about Dr. Crystal Ellis, and I'm going to try not to get teary-eyed myself because I miss him so much, but you can't think of Dr. Crystal Ellis without thinking of kindness, without thinking of genuineness. And so every time he was in a conversation with you, he made you feel like you mattered.
Yes.
Like there was no one else in the room but you. And, you know, to have someone really take the time to make you feel as if you matter, I think that that is someone that you will always connect with. Not to be selfish, but just to have that affirmation that you matter and that you're important. And he never was inconsistent in that theory to anyone.
After we designated the first Friday as Crystal Ellis Day, then we celebrated him at Glenwood Elementary.
Yes.
And Dr. Carr had one of his teachers take this on to, we're going to celebrate Dr. Ellis. And we walked in and there was a mural that students had put together of him in a golf hat. And for those who do not know, he was an avid golfer. Yeah. You could find him at Ottawa Park. My husband would see him there all the time, practicing and putting and all the things. But he talked to so many students that day and listened to them so intently. And Dr. Carr had prepped those students on the things to talk to him about.
That's right.
What's the one thing that stood out to you from that day?
So what stood out for me, number one, a quick little history lesson. I am Glenwood. As a father, I'm Glenwood. So I was like the first male PTO president of Glenwood, right? So Glenwood is like my home location. And so to have that day celebrated at Glenwood, I knew the teachers, I knew, you know, that was my area. But to see the students, some of them for the very first time, see in person the person who they colored the pictures of and who they heard about. But then for him to come and to be able to actually share who he was and what he believed, those students were literally at a standstill. There was no extra talking. There was he was the jolly giant to them as they were beginning to hear his story. And he took time to tell the story. Didn't rush it, and they were there for all of it. They were like so intrigued about it, and so it was a phenomenal day. As a matter of fact, it came up on my social media memories a couple of days ago. Every part of it, I took like 106 pictures of it, but it was just so phenomenal. Even when he walked in to Glenwood, it's a picture of me reaching out to shake his hand, and symbolically, I see that as a transference from one generation to the next.
That's so beautiful. And he would appreciate that so much. And I just think back to that day. We celebrated his life. And then when Mr. Ellis died, we did some things to commemorate him. And we have a media service that we get notifications of when a TPS story, wherever it's covered across the country. And Mr. Ellis, his story when he passed, went across the country.
Wow.
And we received messages back on social media from far away as California and people sharing their stories of Mr. Ellis. And he was my superintendent. He was a pioneer. He led the way. It was so inspiring and just reaffirmed that everything we had done to commemorate him was what was right.
Absolutely. He was my superintendent. And so when I was growing up, he was my superintendent at the high school that I was at the time. And just watching him and watching how he moved, and not just that, but watching how he handled challenges, was just like, this is a man that really has the inner being of the belief in public education, mm-hmm. and seeing what's best for public education. It was not just an institution for him. I felt like it was a calling.
Yes. Yes.
It was a calling. And
he followed that in everything that he did. He started as a teacher. Then he was a counselor. He was a coach. And then he became the first African-American superintendent.
Sure.
And Dr. Durant talks about what an inspiration he was for him, because he was his superintendent as well.
Yeah.
But to see someone who looked like him, and that was his aspiration from the very beginning. So I just think back to all the students that Mr. Ellis touched over the years.
Yes.
And the fact that they kept connected with him over the years just talks about his impact and why he was so important to Northwest Ohio.
And the great thing is that there was no barrier as it relates to that. I mean, whoever it was, there was no restrictions on who he connected with and who lives he impacted.
And the teacher at Glenwood that day, it was her students mm-hmm. that were with us. And she was retiring mm-hmm. at the end of that school year. And she said, I had to do this because Mr. Ellis was my superintendent, and he shook my hand when I started as a teacher. And I want to shake his hand now that I'm ending my career. He was so touched by that. And I think his humility never allowed him to see that, the impact, right?
I think that's perfectly said. I think he never saw himself. He saw us. And so I feel like he thought it was a disservice to what he did if he ever turned that mirror back on himself. Mm-hmm. I really do. And, I mean, he was just such an amazing person, because it's not necessarily about your titles or your positions. It's about being an example. And Dr. Ellis was the example in all things.
Yes.
You know, even as it relates to students, he believed that students, it was not just a place where we'd be educated, but a place where we needed to be respected. No matter what your grade level was, he taught us to be respectable and learn how to respect others.
Yes.
So that you in turn can be respected in that same nature and manner.
And he always said that, I'm not going to beat you down, I'm going to beat you up. And he said that day at Glenwood, I don't want people to think about it, I want them to do it.
That's right.
Meaning, show students how you feel, how they are respected, make students feel heard and appreciated.
Absolutely, absolutely. In this culture, to tell somebody that you're going to beat them up would be a whole different understanding and interpretation. But Dr. Ellis, when he said that, you grabbed it as, my job is not to tear you down. My job is to have the tools to where you can have them. Literally, I'll brainwash you to believe that you can achieve whatever you desire to achieve.
Yes.
And that's what that was all about building us up, building up your self-esteem, building up your confidence, building up your determination, building up your destiny and your purpose of why you're here. And he really was the tool master in making sure that everyone fine-tuned their lives to be the very best they could be.
That is so, gives me goosebumps. And that's when, so this year when it came to Crystal Ellis Day, I think we can all agree that we need a champion right now in our lives.
Yes.
We need a champion in education.
Yes.
So we came up with the Champions Program, and we are naming it after Mr. Ellis. And we are asking teachers, staff, students to tell us about, as you said, the kindness that we're seeing in our district.
Yes.
That is, and I think we take these snippets throughout the year, and next year for Crystal Ellis Day, we are going to celebrate the greatest story that we hear. What do you think that would do for him? How do you think he would perceive this and say, oh, that I just didn't need to do that for me, right? Can't you it would be Patty Mazur. Like, what are you doing?
That is exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, what are you guys doing? You don't have to do that, you know. But I think he would understand that all we want to do is continue the legacy of the foundation that he has built. There's so many challenges that are going on, so many negative things that we hear on a daily basis. And all it takes is a moment of kindness to turn on the light, a moment of kindness to be able to show that life is more than the challenges that we encounter. All it shows is that if you can help someone, then your living is not in vain. That is what it's all about.
He was known for saying, see the potential in others and nurturing it. Mm. In our final minutes here, how do we do that? What do we want? You and I are having a great conversation today about him. What do we want others to take away from that about Mr. Ellis?
If we were to take anything that would continue the legacy of Dr. Ellis, is that to remember that love conquers all. No matter what we go through, no matter what we encounter, if we can first of all embrace love, then it won't be hard for us to exchange love one to another. No matter what we go through, no matter what differences we have, if love can be the factor in all things, then we can achieve whatever we desire. That's the Crystal Ellis way.
That is the Crystal Ellis story. He is my champion. Randall Parker, thank you so much for being here today.
I'm honored. And, thank you.
And for sharing your insight on a true pioneer and hero.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. That's a wrap for this week's episode of TPS Proud Out Loud. I'm Patty Mazur, and I want to thank my guests, Robin Haag and Randall Parker III. It's been a great conversation about Black History Month. Join us next time on TPS Proud Out Loud.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.
The views and opinions expressed in The Local Thread are those of the hosts of the program and its guests. They do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WGTE Public Media.